I can grow trees. Amen, brother. I appreciate you. It's a blessing, man. We've been overshadowed. My wife and I, we're just enamored at what God has allowed us to be a part of this week. I just pray that the Holy Spirit will get a hold of your heart tonight and even this week. I feel like I've already been in church. Brother, we could say amen, go home here. You have an invitation, all that music. Boy, I want to go to my room. Good gosh. I'm telling you, brother, Man, every missionary slide I've ever seen, I just wanted to go there. That ought to be your heart, shouldn't it? Brother, that ought to be each and every one of our hearts. Man, what a blessing. Brother, I'll be praying for you for sure. Be praying for all those little kids. And boy, that wife of yours, boy, brother, you're going to a deep, dark place. You know, it's not how you start. It's always how you finish. It's a hard thing to finish this old race, but that's what the Lord wants us to do. Keep on trucking on, you know, and keep on trucking. I don't know where they got that at, but I like that, don't you? All right. If you would please tonight, take your Bibles to Genesis 32 and pick up Hebrews 11 tonight. Last night we preached about your prayer life, and tonight I want to preach about your love life. You say, I don't know about this got to do with missions, but I've heard so many mission messages, you know, and everything. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will work on your soul. Here's a broken man that God used. Verse 1. And Jacob went on his way, and then the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, and saying, thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands, and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God, my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said us unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of the brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand and a present for Esau his brother. 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 fowls. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asked thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold also, he is behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the droves, saying, on this manner shall we speak unto Esau when we find him. And say ye moreover, behold, the servant Jacob is behind for us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept me. So went the present over before himself lodged that night in the company, and he rose up that night, took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok, and he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, and touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God, and with men hast prevailed." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're thankful, dear God, for all that you do for us every day, dear Father. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word, Lord. And thank you that it's a lamp under our feet and a light on our path. And without thee tonight, Father, we can do nothing. Lord, we can't do anything. And I'm praying, Lord, that you would work in the midst of this place, Lord, that you would get into the midst of each person's head and their heart, Father. And I pray that this message doesn't get just to the head, but, dear Lord, it'd get right down to the heart. And, Father, we pray, Lord, if there's a lost man or woman in this room that's never been saved by your grace, dear Father, that tonight would be the night of salvation. Lord, I don't understand what you're trying to accomplish in this room, Lord. You know better than I do. And Lord, I don't see the heart like you do. And Father, I pray that you reach down in the depths of the soul tonight and touch each one, Father. Lord, work in the midst of us, Lord. Work through things, work through problems, work through all of the circumstances and things that are heavy on people's hearts. Lord, I pray throughout this message, Lord, whether it be a word or a phrase or whether it be something that's said, I pray that the Spirit of God would breathe, Lord, the breath of life on it, Lord, and breathe, Lord, on this place. Father, we need an incoming. We need your precious touch tonight, Father. Lord, I pray you'd bless your word, bless your people. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Here's a story of a worm that became a prince. Brother, God marvelously and wonderfully, eternally changed Jacob here. Brother, that's what my prayer is tonight, that God Almighty would change every one of us. God would change our children. God would change our families. God would change our churches. God would change us. God marvelously and eternally changed Jacob. God made something wonderful out of something that was real ugly. Jacob's name means con artist. It means liar. Brother, it means cheat. It means crook. It means fraud. It means schemer. It means supplanter. It means deceiver, brother. His name his mother gave him. And later on he got a new name, Israel, which means the Prince of God. You know, when I read this, brother, if you study it, this man has three strikes against him here. There was a family that formed him. A man that really didn't come from a good family. I don't know if there's anybody in this room that didn't really come from a good family, but his father loved his brother Esau more than he loved Jacob. Then Jacob's mother, she was a schemer. She was kind of a liar, kind of a sneak herself. And she helped him betray her husband and her son in order that Jacob might get his birthright and the blessings of the firstborn that really wasn't him. And then Esau sold his birthright for a mess of porridge. He got kind of hungry one day and decided he's going to sell it all out for some food. And not only was that there a family that formed him, but there were some faults that feathered him. Here's a man who had all these problems, brother. He was a schemer by nature. But in the Bible, we find out where he agreed with his mother to deceive his father. He cheated his brother out of his birthright, if you will. He was a man, if you looked at him, there's nothing appealing about him. Nothing really you could get a hold of. I mean, if you looked at him, he looked kind of weird. He was kind of one of these guys that running, walking around, you know. He was kind of a mama's boy. He kind of stayed in the kitchen with his mom all the time. I believe I like, you know something, I like when the boys get in a fight. I don't know if that's a good thing here. My dad used to let us fight in the yard. It's good for us to get a little bit dirty and eat dirt. That's good for a little boy to eat some dirt once in a while, don't you? Amen, brother. Come on now. But this kind of guy was, he was kind of dealing on his apron strings, if you will. And Jacob was a man who had failure following him everywhere. Somebody said, if you never fail, you'll never succeed. That's a good thing, I think. It seems like his environment, but as Jacob gets older, and brother, he's past middle age, and still hasn't succeeded, he's still a failure. And I want to show you something that transformed Jacob's life tonight that I believe it'll transform everyone in here. I don't know about you, brother. I need a revival. I don't know about you, brother. I don't know why you came tonight. Brother, I came to get something from God. I came to get something from His dear Holy Ghost. I can get something from His Word. I'm sick of this old dry old kind of Christianity. I'm about tired of all that, brother. I'm going to tell you something. It's about time that we just get under the fountain of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him get us all hot and bothered by Him. Amen. But the Bible says that God loved Jacob. And I want you to know tonight, God didn't love Jacob because of what he was. God loved Jacob because of what he'd become. There's a difference between Jacob and Esau here. Brother Esau despised his birthright and the blessings of God, but you know, Jacob wanted it. And even though he went about it the wrong way, at least he wanted it. I wonder tonight, do you want God? You hunger and thirst after God? The Bible says, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I wonder how much you want God tonight. I guess that's what this mission conference is about. It's about wanting God. It's about wanting the things of God. It's wanting to look at the ways of God. You know, a lot of us know the work of God, but we don't know the ways of God. And brother, God loved Jacob for one thing. I think deep down in his heart, God saw all of his faults and all of his failures. And despite of everything against him, God just cleared it out of the way and found one thing down there. He had a desire to know the Lord. He had a desire for Him. You know, that's one thing God will use. If you've got a desire for the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got that burning desire down in your soul for the things of God, brother, you know what God will do? He'll go do more through you than He will do to you. Do you have a desire to know God? I want you to know that God didn't love Jacob because of what he was. God saw what he was going to become. That's a blessing, man. Brothers and sisters, you need to understand God doesn't change you so He can love you. He loves you so He can change you. That's what I need tonight. I need God to change me so I can love more people. God loved Jacob. I want to say four things about love that changed Jacob tonight. I want you to see in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 32. Look what it says with me. Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. You know what Mahanaim means? It means two hosts. And what's happening here is Jacob's kind of a fugitive. He's running. He's running from God. Brother, he's conned out Esau, and now Esau realizes he's been cheated, and Esau realized what Jacob has done to him, and Esau's coming after him, and everything's against him, and he moves from one failure to another, and he's put out of fellowship with God. And God says, He has some angels camping over Jacob. You know something? He's got some angels camping over him. You know, and he's running from the Lord. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that's been running from the Lord. But the first thing I want you to see about God's love and the love that you and I need to have is God's love's a tender love here. There's a tender love as God sent some angels to take care of this fugitive. This guy's a runaway, brother. He's a backslider. This is a person who still has so much work to be done on him. God sends angels over him to watch over him. And you know what that tells me? God never gives up on us. Thank God for it. I don't know about you in here. I'm thank the Lord that He never gives up on us. He keeps giving us a first and second and third chance. And sometimes 30 chances, 100 chances. But He never stops helping us. Never stops trying to give us what He needs. He's always on our side. He's always trying to help us. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful for God's tender love. Look at Philippians chapter 1, please. Keep your finger in Genesis 32. You're still holding your place in Hebrews 11. Philippians chapter 1. How's your love life tonight? How's your love for souls? Philippians 1. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Watch it now. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. I want you to see there he has them in their heart. I wonder tonight who's on your heart. I thank the Lord for his tender love. I'm thankful the Lord that Jesus Christ came. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ died for me. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder if you're here tonight and you're lost. I wonder if you died right now, would you absolutely go to heaven when you die? Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. If you were to die right now, are you absolutely 100% sure you're going to heaven? If you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. Where the worm dieth not and the fire's not quenched. And I'm pleading with you tonight. Don't trust a profession. Don't trust your baptism. Don't trust being born into a Christian family. If you've never been born above, if you've never been born of the Spirit, you need to get saved before it's eternally too late. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. The Bible says Christ also once suffered the sins for the just, for the unjust, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Amen. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Amen. We're talking about heaven and hell here tonight. Amen. We're talking about a transforming love tonight. We're talking about the power to love more people. Amen. You know what, brother? If God doesn't change us, we can't love any more people. Amen. We could just be in a dead and empty self, not being away from God. There's a whole lot of people that are just running from the Lord. But I wonder if you died right now, would you go to heaven? The Bible says the dead, small and great, will stand before God and the books will be open. And that book which is called the book of life, it says those not found written in the book of life were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. If you died right now, are you absolutely 100% sure you're going to heaven? Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I thank the Lord for his tender love. You know, Jacob deserves chastisement, and he's going to get it, you know. But remember this, thank God for God's eye, but thank God for God's care tonight. Thank God that God's provision never left the man of God. God gives this fugitive an angel escort, amen. Unseen angels all around him. No matter who you are, I don't care what you've done tonight, there's nothing you can do to make him love you anymore. I'm thankful he loves me tonight. I'm thankful his love is unconditional tonight. There's nothing that can make him love me more. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not only do I see that God's tender love here tonight, but I see God's tactical love. Here's what God's doing. He's arranging the circumstances in Jacob's life. God's not helping Jacob get out of trouble. God's engineering his trouble. I wonder all the problems you've been going through this week, or maybe even this month, or even this year. God's been orchestrating all those problems that you're going through. I wonder how many times God's put you in a situation you really didn't like, but God's doing it because he's trying to get a hold of your soul. He's trying to change some things. There's a lot of times I don't agree with what God's doing sometimes. sometimes I get in a mess, and sometimes I get to thinking not right, and you know that God has to work me over, and you know I get to getting real mad and everything, but all that stuff is coming our way because God's trying to orchestrate something. He's trying to make us more conformable to His image. It's not how big you get in a Christian life, friend. It's how little you become. I wonder how little you've become. You know, when you get little, you get low. You get humble. The Bible says, by humility and fear of the Lord is riches on earned life. Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and I'll lift you up. I wonder how humble have you got? How low you got? You know, when you're humble, you listen more. You're not talking so much. You know, our trouble is we talk too much. You know, when you start to humble down, you start to listen more. Start listening to His voice. Start listening to what He's trying to say. I wonder, maybe you're going through something with your family right here. Maybe there's something nobody else knows about. Maybe there's something in your marriage, or maybe something at work, something very tragic that's happened to you. And God's been just bringing you along on this thing. I don't even know why I'm telling you that, but I'm telling you right now. God could be bringing that by your way because He's trying to orchestrate something. He's going to try to, through that trouble, He's going to make something good out of it. He's going to make you better. He's going to make you more conformable to His image. He's going to make you more humble. He's going to make you a better listener, because the trouble is we don't listen. The trouble is we want to do all the talking. That's the trouble with most people and pray. The reason they don't pray is because they're doing all the talking. They're not listening to the Lord. But I'm talking about a tactical love here. You ever thought about all the trouble you've been asking God to take away from you? Maybe the very trouble that God's tactically engineering for you. Go back to Genesis 32. Come on, talk to me. The more you talk to me, the quicker we get finished. Amen. Genesis 32. Not much talking here. We'll preach all night then. All right. I'm just kidding. Verse 3. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and woman servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight. You say, Brother Paul, what's he talking about? Well, Jacob knows that Esau's out there somewhere. He thinks he's going to kill him. So he's been following him. He sends someone out to see where Esau's really at. And word comes back that not only Esau's out there, but he's got 400 strong men with him. And he has hate in his heart. And he's coming after Jacob. You know, Jacob's kind of scared to death. He's kind of got his mind begins to work. Look at verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also cometh to meet thee 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, the flocks and the herds and the camels, unto two bands. And he said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. You see, you hear, brother, there's no peace in Jacob's life. He finds himself, he's wealthy, he's got all these goods. He comes to Esau and he thinks, I better cut my losses here. So he says, I'll send a group over here. You take the flocks and herds over there. He thinks Esau's going to strike here. I'll save this. He thinks he's going to spread things and cut his losses here. And then he begins to pray. Look at verse 9. Jacob said, O God, my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country, to thy kindred, and I'll deal well with thee. I'm not worthy to be least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I become two bands. You see, prayer in Jacob's life wasn't the first thought. It was a last resort. I wonder what you're praying about in this mission conference. A lot of times when we get in a mess, we start praying. Prayer's not our first thought, it's our last result. He says, yes, Lord, I remember the promise. God, take care of me. Then he goes back to scheming and lying and cheating again. So God has already shown him an angel here. God already said, Jacob, if you trust me, I'll take care of you. You know what Jacob does next, brother? He tries to soften up Esau. You know, people, this is human nature here. And brother, he's about to 580 valuable animals here. He puts them in five groves, if you will. He says, you go out there and meet Esau. You give him a gift here. And then you wait a while. Then you give him another gift over here. And then you wait a while. And then you do that five times there. Jacob's kind of a smart guy. I'm always leery of all these intelligent people. You know what I've learned in the ministry is that I don't even know what I'm doing. You know, it's okay not to know what you're doing. I'm fearful of all these Christians already got the answer for everything. They can tell you what to do, what you need to say. They can tell you where you need to go. They can tell you what you want to wear and all that stuff. But it's okay not to have everything figured out. I wonder, is that your life? Or is that what you're up against? You don't have to know what you're doing all the time. You just need to know the Lord. Amen. That's what he does. He's a smart guy. And you know what he tries? He tries to flatter Esau, if you would. Then he spreads everything out and he shoots up a prayer and he goes back to try and soften Esau up again. He's just like you and I. Can you see the mind of this man? Jacob got himself in a mess. But you know something? God's engineered the whole thing. God knows everything that's going on. Look at Genesis 31. Look at verse 7. Genesis 31, verse 7. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Look at verse 24. Same chapter, Genesis 31, 24. God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. Do you realize what we're reading? God is over this whole thing. Notice what Laban says now. Look at verse 29. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. You know what Laban says? Laban says, don't help him, don't hurt him. Brother, I'm just reading the verses here. That's what Jacob's doing. He's a fugitive. He's running from God. He's running from Esau. But God up in heaven is moving all the pieces around. He's got it all figured out. Let me tell you something. You don't get nothing by on God. God says, I want to do this. Don't help him. Don't hurt him. Are you just going to get in this particular place? God knows every one of the hairs on our head. God knows what you've been up to. God knows what you've been doing. He knows the step. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He knows all the trouble we're in. Every bit of it's been engineered by God. And I see God's love is tender here. Not only that, I see God's love is tactical. But real love doesn't give us what we want or give us what we need sometimes. The third thing I want you to see is God's love is tough love sometimes. Tough love. I want you to see what God did for him. What God did for him was tough love. You know, we don't like to hear about that kind of love tonight. Here Jacob finally gets along by himself and he's done everything else and God finally gets him where he wants him to be, and that's alone. I wonder when was the last time you got alone with God? When was the last time you got alone with the Lord and just told him all your sorrows? I wonder when was the last time you got on your knees and just cried to the Lord? When was the last time you got on your knees and got broken for God? When was the last time you got on your knees and you got up in the middle? Listen, if God gets you up in the middle of the night, get up in the middle of the night. Talk to the Lord. When was the last time you just got down and cried for the souls of men? You know what we need? We need more of a people to get a burden in prayer for the souls of men and get after it for Jesus Christ that way. When was the last time you got burdened for the Lord? When was the last time you got alone with the Lord? Look at Genesis 32, please, if you would. And verse 24. Notice this. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with him until a man with him until the breaking of the day. It took a long time to get Jacob alone here. He didn't want to be alone. You know, people that are running from God don't want to be alone. People don't want to be alone. They don't want to face themselves. They don't want to face God. But finally, Jacob is alone. You see the tender love of God. You see the tactical love of God, but it becomes tough love. It says Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. You know, he's all by himself. You know what it's going to take for us to get a hold of God is just being alone with him. There's a man, and you know who I believe that man is? I believe that man that he met was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Here Jacob meets the Lord, and here Jacob's alone, and he's in the dark, and he's scared, and there's Jesus. He's in the face-to-face with Jesus, and he's in a wrestling match with Jesus. You know what? There may be some people in this room having a wrestling match with the Lord right now. There was a wrestling match out there in the wilderness. And they were wrestling back and forth. The Lord's trying to do something with this man that he loves very much. This love's tough love. You know, the Lord didn't want to overcome Jacob. He wanted Jacob to prevail. That's a kind of a strange fight, isn't it? The Lord's getting ready for a final stroke. I want you to see what the Lord does here. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, watch it now, and he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. I want you to notice he touches the hollows of his thigh. You know what the Lord does? The Lord reaches down and cripples Jacob. You know why? So he can no longer run. The Lord's bringing him to a place where he wants him. You know, if you want God to do something in this mission conference, you got to be willing to let the Lord get a hold of your soul. You got to be willing to get alone with him and just let the Lord break us. You know, the trouble with us sometimes, we're just not empty enough. We're so full of ourselves and full of what we're about instead of being full of the Lord. He's breaking Jacob. You know why? Because so Jacob don't depend on himself anymore. I wonder how much you're dependent on you and how much of you are dependent on the Lord. The angel Lord had to cripple this man. You know why? Let me go. Notice what the angel Lord says in verse 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I'll not let thee go, except thou bless me." You know what Jacob's name means? It means to grab. It means to withhold. It means grabbing. And for the first time in his life, he gets a hold of the Lord. I wonder, when was the last time you got a hold of the Lord? He's got a hold of the angel of the Lord. We know that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Let me go." And he says, "I won't let you go except thou bless me." You know what God wanted to hear those words? And he hears them. The Bible says that we're not to have any confidence in the flesh. You know, Jacob's confidence was not in the Lord. It was in his flesh until this moment here. Let me ask you tonight, where's your confidence? You know where the wrestler's confidence is? It's in his legs. I wonder tonight, where's your confidence? Maybe your confidence is in your ability. Maybe your confidence is in your intelligence. Maybe your confidence is in what you can do or what you've accomplished. But I want to ask you tonight, how much of your confidence is in the Lord? He's wrestling with God here. You know, I wonder how many of us have surrendered our hearts to the Lord. You know, we have a lady over in Moldova. We started a church over in a war-torn town of Belts. And it never got the gospel before. We've been preaching out on the street, and we had a Bible campaign. We put out over 700, we had 200,000 Gospel of John and Romans out on the street, gave a gospel invitation to a Friday night meeting. We did it back in 2003. We had over 200, we had over 5,000 people come out for the meeting. It's an unbelievable meeting. We gave Bibles out to about 5,000 people. I've never seen 5,000 people in one place to get a Bible in all my life. And there was a lady that came there, and we had given out Bibles, people getting saved all over the building. They were getting saved in the bathrooms. They were getting saved out in the foyer. I don't know how many got saved, but there was a whole slew of them gotten saved. And we had this lady, she came out on the bus there, and she was she had been traveling about 8 or 9 hours to get there. She came into that place where we were at, and we were just locking up. My wife and I were putting Bibles away. And you know, she came in, she had sweat dripping off her face, and she looked like she just missed out on something. She just couldn't get it all figured out. I went to the door, and I asked her, I said, "Ma'am, can I help you?" She said, "Yes, sir." She says, "I've come on a bus 8 hours to get a Bible." She said, "I've been praying for 20 years that God give me a copy of the Word of God." Man, went out back there, I was about bawling my eyes out. We took my wife and we gave that lady a Bible. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. I gave that lady a Bible. She put her hand out, took that Bible. It was like she had took a newborn baby in her hand. She took it and began to rub her hand over that Bible. And she said, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." I watched that woman walk up out on that trolley bus, and I never seen her again. And I thought to myself, brother, I'll get a Bible in everybody's home in Moldova. Well, about 12 years later, we did the same event. We were in the city of Belts, and we're passing out literature. And they're throwing stuff out on the ground, and we got this 75-year-old woman. And I've always prayed for a Peter, James, and John. I pray for it all the time. I said, "God, send us some men." You know what God did that night? God sent us a 75-year-old believer, a Jewish believer from a Masonic church. They had a Masonic church in Belts for 15 years, and the preacher stopped preaching the gospel. She came to our services, man. She was on fire for God. She just wanted to hear something from the Bible. She came to our services a few times, and then finally she said, "I'd like to come out on the street." She said, "For the last 2 weeks, you know," she said, I got me a cardboard box, and I got this little, I cut out a little sign out of this cardboard box. I put my name, Valentina, on the top of that thing." She said, "In the middle, I put a verse of Scripture, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. She said, I put at the bottom a little inscription saying, 'I'm Valentina, I'm a born-again child of God, and I'd like to pray for you.'"
Amen.
You know what she did? She said, "Brother Paul," she said, "you know, I go out in the mornings and I go out in the evenings and I give out gospel tracts." And she says, "I want to do that every day till I die. Can I do that?" I said, "Absolutely." So every day this 75-year-old woman takes the gospel to the street on the morning and evening. She says, "This little sign I got's kind of small." She said, "Would you mind getting me a signboard like you guys got?" I said, "Sure." We give her a signboard. She wants a different scripture every day of the week to put out there to go out there on the street. Something got a hold of her. But what I didn't realize, she lost all of her children. What I didn't realize, she didn't have a husband. What I realized is she's just a widow woman. She don't have two nickels to rub together. But brother, she got a love for God.
Amen.
Somewhere along the line, God broke her. The Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart and saveth such that have a contrite spirit. I wonder what it's going to take for God to get a hold of you. Here's a 75-year-old broken woman who God's going to use on the street. God's love is tough sometimes. Think about it. He's got a hold of Jacob here. And he says, "Let me go. The day breaketh." And he said, "I'll not let thee go except thou bless me." What's it going to take for God to get a hold of your heart? I think God wanted to hear those words, and now he hears them. Jacob's confidence wasn't in the Lord. It was in himself. Jacob's the schemer, the con artist. And finally says, "I can trust you, God. God, I'll not let you go except you bless me." So not only do you see God's tender love and God's tactical love and God's tough love, but I want you to see God's transforming love. Because God can transform us. You know what? Every person on the street in Rochester and Greece and all these Brockports and all the surrounding cities, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for love. And if they don't get it from us, they'll get it from the world. If they don't get it from us, they'll get it from some cult. If they don't get it from us, they'll get it from some outside source. What's it going to take for God to get a hold of us? We need love. We need God's transforming love. Look at Genesis 32 and look at verse 27. Here's God's transforming love right here. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. You know, God knew it, but he wanted Jacob to confess it. What's your name tonight? My name is a cheat. My name is a fraud. My name is a soup planter. My name is a conniver. My name is Jacob. I wonder, does anybody need to say that tonight to the Lord? The reason we're not seeing power in the public is because we're not honest in the private. When was the last time you got down and said, Lord, I'm a liar? Lord, when was the last time you got down and said, Lord, I'm a whoremonger. I'm a hypocrite. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. Lord, I'm a drunkard. Lord, I'm a cusser. Lord, I got pride. Lord, I'm jealous. Lord, I'm envious. Lord, I've purposely hurt people. We want revival. Revival takes place on the inside. He got to do the work on the inside. He's got to change us before he can change the world. God had to do that to me when I went to Moldova. Some of you don't know this, but I'll be honest with you because I don't care what you think. I'm more interested in what the Lord wants here. When I first went to Moldova, I thought I was going to turn everything upside down, brother. You showed the slides. I mean, I was ready to charge hell with a pistol of water, you know, and take on and try to win everybody the Lord. Well, we did a lot of work for the Lord, but the first church we started, we went into a small village, and when we got there, there wasn't any Bibles there. There were people tearing out pages of the Bible just so they could read it. We started a church in the first year. We baptized 25, got 25 saved. The second year we had 30 saved and 30 baptized. And then the third and fourth year we had about 50 people baptized. And we started a church and I turned it over to the national pastor and began to train him and had Bible Institute and all that stuff. And finally, they came to us, me and my wife, and they said, we want to have a meeting with you. I said, okay. So we went down to the village, you know, and we met with the church and met with them. And the men had some counsel in there. And he said, Brother Paul, we don't want you to come back anymore here. I looked in the face of all the people that I led to the Lord, all the people I trained. I couldn't figure it all out. I just started to weep. I didn't know what to do. Me and my wife got on that bus that day, and we walked in that bus, and we left, and our hearts were just broken. And I thought, why did they do that to me? And you know what I started? I started the blame game. Started to blame everybody else. I started to blame everybody else for the problems that I had. And you know what I realized? First, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And I realized that day, I said everything that happened to me that day was God orchestrating something to break me. Don't you know there were some things that weren't right in my own heart? Some pride, some things some anger issues and bitterness that were down deep in my heart that weren't right. And you know what? When I got that thing right and fixed, you know something? 2 more years later, they asked us to come back. You know, at that time, I thought, why is God punishing me? Why is this working out for this? Why is all these bad things happening to me? You know what I did? I started blaming everybody else. But you know what I realized? It was God's transforming love. It was a tough love that God was putting towards me to make me more conformable to His image. You know what He's trying to do? He was trying to abstract something from my personality that was getting in the way. You ever had that problem? If you never get over that, you know what? You'll never experience God's transforming love. That's what missions is. That's what missionaries are supposed to do. He says, "What is your name?" And for the first time, Jacob confessed it. Look at verse 28. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hath power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Have you ever been brought to the place where you really admitted your name? I wonder tonight, what is your name? Maybe your name's lazy. Maybe your name's fearful. You know, God can cripple him. God can cripple you. You know why God cripples us? So He can crown us. God broke him so He could bless him. You know why some are truly blessed? Because they've been broken. What these missionaries are going to experience on the mission field is broken people. Men throw away broken things, you know. But God never uses anything until He first breaks it. Look at Jeremiah 4, please. And then pick up Hebrews 11. Jeremiah 4 and Hebrews 11. Maybe that's what God's going to do with you tonight. He wants to break you so He can bless you. He's trying to cripple you so He can crown you. Jeremiah 4, verse 3. "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns." Before there can be a crop, the plow, amen, must go in and there must be brokenness. Remember Gideon, brother? They had the earthen pitchers. They had the lamp under the pitchers. But God said, break the pitchers. It's not until the pitchers are broken that the light can shine through. You never see the light of Jesus in Brother Paul until the earthen vessel's been broken. Remember that little lad's lunch over there in John chapter 6? Jesus fed the multitudes with it. But He never fed the multitudes with it until He blessed it. Until He broke it. Remember the woman with the alabaster box, the perfume? Nobody could smell the perfume, brother, until they broke the alabaster box of ointment and poured it upon Jesus. Jacob could never be called Israel, the Prince of God, until he first was broken. Think about it. I wonder if God's trying to break you about something. I wonder if God's trying to work out something in you that's hindering Jesus is Christ's work, or hindering the work of the Lord, or hindering the gospel going out. You know, every day I pray, I said, "Lord, protect me from me." Amen. You know something, brother? That's what we need to pray about. You know, Jacob was crippled the rest of his life, but it was God's tender love. It was God's tactical love. It was God's tough love. But all that had to take place so he could see God's transforming love. And the last thing I want to say is, go to Hebrews 11. Why did this all happen to Jacob? And here's the message right here. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Verse 21. Here's the message for you. This is the power of love. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, worshipped, here it is, leaning upon the top of his staff. Remember what the rest of Jacob's life was? He had to have a crutch. The rest of his life, he was limping. He was broken. But he has a staff to lean on. You know, now he's leaning on the Lord. He's 147 years old. And finally, Jacob learned how to lean on the Lord. Jacob finally realizes he's stronger leaning than he is standing on his two feet. I wonder, maybe that's what God's trying to do with you tonight. You need to get a hold of God's transforming love. That's what missions is all about. That's what winning souls is all about. That's what getting churches is all about. That's what the souls of men are all about. It's you as a believer in Jesus Christ leaning on Him. Jacob never learned it until he started to lean on the Lord. Until he understood God's love. Remember, self-sufficiency is not a virtue. You have to learn to lean. That's the power of love. Worshiping is learning to lean on God. I wonder, does anybody need to lean on the Lord more? If you're going to be on a mission field 20 plus years, you're going to have to learn to lean on the Lord and trust Him. I wonder, is there anybody here tonight? How's the love? How's your love in your life for the Lord? How's your love life tonight? How's your leaning on the Lord? I wonder, maybe the stuff that's been happening in your life, maybe God's tactically trying to orchestrate that thing to make you more conformable to His image. I wonder, is there something that God's trying to abstract from your personality that's kind of getting in the way of things? Nothing gets done without God and nothing gets done without prayer. We're talking about the power of love tonight. Let's stand for prayer. We have an invitation tonight.
It's open.
If you need to come and talk with the Lord, maybe you have trouble learning to lean. Amen.
I'm always a little apprehensive to say this one word to the Lord. Whatever.